Welcome to Dysfunctional Podcast. I am Jesus Figueroa at dysfunctionaldysfunctional.com. And today I have an interview I did with the cast and crew of I Am Gangster, which premiered at Dances with Films. I got a chance to speak with writer-director Moritz Rechenberg, producer Ralph Weinfurtner, and actors Marlene Forte, Gilberto Ortiz, and Rick Mancia. I Am Gangster tells the story of three young men in East Los Angeles trying to survive on a daily basis, while idealistic rookie cop David is able to keep his family safe until use of force incidents put him under pressure to make a fateful decision. Hardcore gang member Lito steps into dangerous territory when he defies gang matriarch Tia in his hustle for wealth and power. At the same time, rebellious teenager Rio flirts with gang life until he has to deal with his own guilt over a tragic death.
Yeah, this is crowded. But great to talk to all of you. Hi, Jesus. Thanks for the interest in our movie.
No problem. I'm from East Los Angeles, so this is kind of like right in my backyard, this movie.
Oh, you're from East LA? That's cool, man. I'm from South Central.
Cool.
From neighbors, brother.
Yep. I was actually born in Compton, raised in East LA, so.
Nice. Okay. I was just on, I don't know if you watch East Los Angeles, I was just on that for a while.
I am.
Based on your city, brother.
Yep. I'm a big fan of East Los High.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
It's making
a little bit of a douchebag on that. Yeah, man. Yeah. Exciting stuff.
Also, Marlene, I believe you were on Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yes, I just finished the mid-season.
Killing it.
I know. a little similar to our Thea, in her. Inner conviction.
Well, first of all, I'm very excited about this film. It looks amazing. It's, you know, about East Los Angeles, and it kind of gave me the feel of a nice mixture between Traffic and Training Day. It's kind of really cool because there's been a few films that have come out, like End of Watch, that tell the police side of the story. And this is the opposite. And I'm just happy somebody's taking an interest in telling both sides. How did this idea come about?
I mean, like you said, I mean, the interest was just in these kids and how they're growing up and how you... I wanted to roll it up from the beginning. Like, how do you end up on the street shooting each other? Another kid your age, teenager, preteen. How does a scenario like that come to happen? And that was just something that I wanted to dig in and dig a little deeper, and see if we can, you know, create a film that portrays that life in a little bit more, what I find a little bit more in a respectful and maybe even truthful way. So that's just something that we wanted to get as close as possible to. And I think what helped a little bit is at least my and Ralph's European background. European cinema can be a little bit more dry and... just kind of no frills, storytelling, and I think paired that with what I learned in film school here kind of helped us make this the movie that it is. Just kind of something more of an observational piece about these three characters that we're watching, and wanted to make something about the experience of a young kid that is just. Has to work with the card that life dealt him or her. So that was the closest to my heart.
I
was just going to say it's a universal theme. Whichever way you really want to dress, you know, people form cliques in everything in life. So when you see these three stories that you're following along on, you see the similarities between them, and that's, I think, the biggest, the most powerful thing in the film, that you see how there's not that many differences in between these three different lifestyles. They're pretty much facing similar problems, at least at the root of it. It's just universal themes of doing what you think is right, or doing what everybody else is telling you to do, your influence, outside influences, you know, and whatnot. So it's a universal theme, I think, all across all characters, and it helps you see how similar we all really are.
That's definitely something that really attracted me, the fact that this is all decision-based and the paths we choose to take. How much research went into this mentality for the writing, and how much research did the actors do to portray these characters very genuinely?
I don't live too far from their town. I live in the USC area. So I think that was one of the things that really attracted me to this movie, was that the proximity of the way things happen in this city. You know, things happen, you know, a couple miles away from each other, and we don't realize it because we live in this, LA's a beautiful metropolitan, but it's very segregated in its way. Not on purpose, or maybe it is on purpose, I don't know, but I know that it happens, you know, and it's just human nature to migrate to where your people are, you know. So, but that created these barriers and these kind of invisible barriers, because they're right there and people don't see it. And we have, you know, meth labs, and people, you know, you hear it in the news. They're like, oh my God, that woman next door was so nice, or we had no idea they were cooking meth next door, or making weed or whatever. The point is that we close our eyes to what's in front of us here, and we have to take responsibility for our neighbors. And as far as research goes, you know, this woman is a mom. I've been a mom more than I've done anything else in my life, because I was a very young teenage mom myself. And I started there with Gia, and from there I put in all the layers of she's a businesswoman and all the other things that happen. I tried to make her as human as I can, even though her decisions were tough to make.
As the writer director, I would say the biggest chunk of time of this whole project went to research and development. I mean, that was what this whole project was really built upon. To get some of the details right, although it might be hard for a particular kind of audience member to understand dialect, to understand the words, or, you know, to understand in quotes everything that's going on screen. But it was just supposed to be a piece that's, you know, true to life and true to what a young gang member, let's say, is going through. So that was really on top of the list. That was the priority to make it do it right. So that's, I think, at least 3 years went into, you know, volunteering and working with the communities and building relationships around this, bringing different advisors on board during writing that, you know, could contribute their experiences and help me and the other writers just get some of the details right. So I think that the preparation and the development really is made all the difference.
Yeah, what's up? It's Gilberto. I just called in.
Hey, Gilberto. So, hey.
Yeah, and I think what also really helped out too was what's really cool is that we were able to have some rehearsal time. And we worked with a lot of non-actors that actually live within these communities. And so it was really cool to kind of get a glimpse into what their day-to-day life or what their upbringing was, and just kind of hear what their stories were about. Because I grew up in a more suburban area, so getting to hear what they, even though our issues are somewhat similar, you know, the decisions that we end up making are based off of what, you know, our circumstances are and how we I don't know.
No, absolutely right. Yeah, it's a very good point, and a good point too you're making is that I don't know if you're aware of his shoes, but it was kind of or what your impression was of the cast, but it was pretty much somewhat of a 50-50 mix between professional actors and first-time actors. So we had a good amount of people from the community that were open and interesting to come aboard as cast members and kind of, you know, infuse the whole project with a little bit of a sense of naturalism even. And I think in the end, it can be also a dangerous kind of energy if you bring professionals and non-professionals together, but I think in our case it really worked out well, and I think we all got along really great, and I think our actors were able to kind of feed off each other and learn from each other in a way, but you know, that's maybe something that Marlene or Rick and Gilberto can speak to better.
I think it's What's really cool about having first-time actors on the set is that they have this I almost want to say naiveness, but it's a good thing, you know. I mean, they haven't been hardened by the industry or anything like that, so they're out there, they're hungry, and these guys are really, you know, they're representing their own community. So I think that they're really giving this 110%, and that's what really was the great thing about having these first-time actors. And then you have these people who are professionals like myself and Marlene and Gilberto. That are more versed in the industry, and we could also help them with whatever small questions that they have. So I think it was a seamless process to mix both worlds, just because everybody was so inviting and it was such a comfortable environment. But in regards to your previous question, preparation for me, it was mainly the training, because I had to train to get an at least. This was like Thanksgiving week we were filming and stuff, so I had to be in, you know, fighting shape, and I had to be training with the trainer for the scenes that we did have, and that was the bulk of my preparation. And on top of that, the character work, of course, you know, came with it.
Like Marlene said, the decisions these characters make are very difficult. Were there any obstacles in your characters and how they responded to certain instances in the movie?
I think, for Dia, I mean, I think the hardest decision for her was to have to go on and have Lito killed, basically. I think that was her hardest thing, but, you know, these people, or at least the background that I made for Dia, you know, she is one of those little kids playing soccer at the end of the movie. She was one of those little girls, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and what happens is that you live your life being desensitized to this violence in such a way that it almost... And I think that that's what I love most about this, is that these decisions, these life and death decisions, are made so matter-of-factly, so... There's no glory to them. There's no, you know, it's just like, oh, well, that doesn't work. Throw it out, keep moving, you know. And it's a survival instinct that these people have had to put into place at a very young age. And it's part of that, again, goes back to the whole movie thing, which is what you've dealt with in life and what choices you make, you know. But well, how many choices do you really have when you don't have, you know, they're handing you one card. So you're like, okay, that's my choice. And I think that those are the places that these really hard decisions are coming from. And, you know, we're watching it and we're going, oh my God, how can somebody do that? But you have to realize that this is a life. This is not something that just happened to these people. You just came in and saw a glimpse of it. And that, to me, was the best thing about this movie, that it was not making judgments. It was not. It was just showing a side.
I'll continue with for David. I think the hardest decision for him was going in with a this idea of how the system works, of how the law is, and how, you know, he has this idea of going in where it's very black and white. It's very good guy, bad guy, and I think the hardest decision to him is to make a decision to get to the greater good, which is paying to, or, you know, give in to these outside influences, trying to recruit him to, you know, to be a part of something within the correctional facility, similar to a gang. So I think that that's the hardest decision for him to get his morals and his ethics he's grown up with, to take on this other lifestyle in order to do the best good that he possibly can. So I think that was his toughest decision.
Yeah, and I think for Rio, you know, I think for a lot of teenagers, you're trying to figure out what it is that you're trying to do with your life, where you're trying to go, who you're trying to be. And, you know, at the same time, you want to please your parents, but you want to please your friends, please yourself. And you're trying to figure out relationships and girls, and there's just so much going on. And sometimes, unfortunately, the outside influences tend to not be the best influences, and the best kids sometimes end up at the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, it's just it's coming into your own, and I think a lot of people will be able to relate to Rio in that aspect.
It's definitely a very universal movie because even though it's set in LA, it could just be anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's what connects a lot of people to the movie. Now that it's played, it premiered, where can people go see it after this? Is there any social media sites where you guys are at or online?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything we have, everything. There's my own personal Twitter account that I call it. Twitter.com/Reckenberg. That's my last name. Easy to remember, obviously. And then there's, maybe the hub is iamgangsterfilm.com. That is the website for the movie. There's links to Twitter, Facebook, and everything that's going on. We do have, we can announce that here, technically, but for the first time ever. We do have a distribution deal. I don't know, guys. MacDale and Associates. Do we have the green light for this, or what?
Morris, we should. Yeah. I think they will do that. No, I think they will. Yeah,
but anyway, there is a plan in place, and it's sometime later this year, early 2017. It should be available on for the general public on different platforms. Probably the platform of your choice for streaming and download. So it will come out in the near future.
That's awesome! I can't wait to add this movie to my collection.
Yeah, if you do want to stay in touch, the best way would probably be signing up for our newsletter. You can do that on our website. That is a sure way to stay in the loop. And follow us on the social networks. I'm trying my best to, you know, keep it updated and fresh, and I'm putting out stuff that's happening. And you can that's really the best way to stay in touch. And I'm sure all of us on our social media will be promoting the movie as well on our personal accounts. Mine is @ManciaRick. It's pretty simple as well. I'll be posting stuff about info whatever we get that's available for the general public. We'll be posting and promoting it as much as we can.
We all have Twitter accounts. Mine is my name everywhere. MarlenePorte.com, @MarlenePorte, any of that stuff. And I think if you follow any of us, or all of us, we'll keep you posted.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'm @GBerto, GBERTO. So Twitter and Instagram. GBerto. No. If I ever say Gilberto, everybody's hella confused. I'm like, man.
Right?
Yeah. But people usually, they usually don't know what I'm talking about.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, for your time. It's been
amazing. Yeah, thank
you.
Thank you for your interest.
I hope.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man, from another fellow Los Angeles.
Check out more of I Am Gangster at their website, iamgangsterfilm.com, and sign up for their newsletter. Check out more of my stuff here on audioboom.com/channel/dysfunctional. Check out more of my stuff on dysfunctional.com. Follow me and chat with me on social media @dysfunctional on Instagram and Twitter. Dysfunctional LA on Facebook, Dysfunctional on Snapchat, and Dysfunctional on the Good Shows app, where you can check out more movie and TV reviews.